The DUP is proposing the introduction of a paedophile disclosure scheme in Northern Ireland. The scheme would be similar to Sarah's Law, the law introduced in England, Scotland and Wales in 2011. It allows a parent or guardian to ask police if a person who has contact with children is a child sex offender. Last week here, a convicted paedophile tried to use the courts to stop social services from telling the fathers of his new partner's children about his previous convictions. He failed. So, what level of privacy should someone who has abused children expect to receive? Should there be a right to know if someone is a paedophile, or do they have a right to privacy and a second chance? The DUP MLA, Paul Frew, is with us today. Morning to you, Paul.
Morning, Stephen.
You tabled an amendment to the Justice Bill calling for a Sarah's Law type scheme here, and Luke Gitos is a solicitor, legal editor for Spiked Online. Morning, Luke.
Morning.
How would this new law work, Paul? Set this out for us.
Well, we at the minute, Stephen, we already have disclosure in Northern Ireland, whereby the BPANI agencies, the police, the probation board, the prison service, NSPCC, come together and they monitor and they manage sex offenders in this country. There are some 1,200 sex offenders living in the community here in Northern Ireland, 118 in my own police district.
How many?
Sorry, 1,200 living within the community.
Of child sex offenders or sex offenders?
Sorry, of sex offenders.
1,200? My goodness, that surprises me.
Of course, there is a wide spectrum of risk here, from the most heinous crimes committed to the most to the lowest risk offender. So we have to be careful with regards our language here in this. But this is all about risk. And this is all about allowing parents who we task to look after their children to have as much information as they can to protect their child and their children and to risk manage their family's life.
So how would it work?
Well, if there's someone who is in contact with a family member, a new person comes in on the scene or moves into your next door or on your street and has some contact with your children or your child, and it's all about protecting your child, you then can approach the police and apply then for disclosure. That will then go and BPANI will assess that. And if they deem it to be a sufficient risk, they will disclose information about that person to you around their convictions, their findings and the cautions that that person may have had in the past.
What's wrong with that, Luke?
Well, there's an enormous problem with it in that it denies people who have been convicted of these offences the right to move on with their lives. I think it's deeply problematic. We've seen instances both in the UK and elsewhere of effectively vigilantism against people who have been convicted of these offences. As has already been pointed out, this covers an enormous range of offending. sexual offences under the Sexual Offences Act range from everything from very minor offences around pornography and exposure, right up to the kind of serious child sex offending you're talking about. What you're doing is not just denying the privacy of very serious child sex offenders, you're denying the rights of an enormous number of people who have every right to move on with their lives. It's wholly inappropriate. If the social services are doing their job properly, they will have used the court process to ensure that the person they're talking about isn't, for example, getting a job at a nursery if they shouldn't be getting a job at a nursery, not working with young and vulnerable people. The court already has the means to prevent them from doing that. They have the means to interrupt the offender's interaction with public life to the extent that they need to manage risk. What's being talked about here is actually intervening and destroying these people's private lives, the extent they interact with fellow citizens. And that's the important dimension here, the fact that fellow citizens can apply to the authorities for this information.
Well, fellow citizens might want to protect their families from someone who's committed child sex offences or any type of sex offence in the past.
I might want to know whether my neighbour is a thief. I might want to know whether the chap living two doors down from me has ever been a burglar. It doesn't automatically bestow on me the right to know that information, and I'm not clear at all what it is about sexual offences which gives me the right to know information which otherwise would be kept from me.
Can you tell him, Paul?
Yes, well, actually, the disclosure scheme in Northern Ireland will cover more than just sexual offences and more than just child sex offences. It will cover domestic violence and also violence violent offenders also.
What about burglary, robbery, theft?
Well, these are crimes, some of them the most heinous crimes, that concentrate on children. Now,
Does it cover murder?
I believe that the families here in Northern Ireland, the fathers and the mothers and the carers and the teachers deserve to be able to apply for information that the agencies already have so that they can best safeguard their children.
Theoretically, if someone had murdered a child and was living on my streets, would I be able to know that about them?
But this is a start. This is
yes
about
or no?
Making children safer. This
well,
is
it's not, is it? It's not about making children safer. Because the fact is, you're talking about the most heinous crime. Someone could have killed a child and still live on my road and I wouldn't apparently be entitled to that information. It's completely inconsistent.
Completely
nonsense law, which does nothing to protect children and does a lot to encourage suspicion and vigilantism.
I didn't interrupt you, but on the point of vigilantism, it is happening in the real world. I, as a constituency MLA, get calls all the time from concerned parents saying to me, we've heard rumours about some bloke that has moved into our street or our village, and we are really, really worried. Can you find out information from the police? If I was to go to the police would say, no, we can't give you that. Now, if this law comes in, I'm able to tell those parents that you can apply for this information. And if your application is child-centred around your child or children or children in your care, and the police deem it to be a sufficient risk, you will get that disclosure. You will get that information that will arm you to protect your child as best you can.
What's a legitimate step to take to protect your child?
And what's
a legitimate step?
Of course...
Bullying him out of the area?
Of course, is it not better that the police can come back to those parents and say, here there is of no concern? And because what there is at the minute, there's a vacuum of fear, of frustration, of anger, and a lot of times, misinformation. Is it not better that information is shared so that people can see that there is no concern here with this person? And that may well prevent...
The knowledge.
That may well prevent...
So what you're now talking about, using this disclosure scheme to prevent people being vigilantes. Is that seriously what you're suggesting? You're suggesting this scheme will prevent people taking the law into their own hands?
I believe...
Is that what you're arguing?
I believe it will, yes.
Well, it will if the person hasn't been convicted. If the person hasn't been convicted, then what if the person has been convicted of a serious child sex offence? What's the legitimate measure for those people to take?
If someone has been convicted of a serious sex offence, is it not better that the parents living next door would know?
Why?
Is it not better that they can protect their child?
What's the legitimate step for them to take to protect their children?
What if they want to egg his house until he moves out? Well, that's a very good point, because within this disclosure scheme, there is such arrangements that may include conditions for preventing the member of the public concerned from disclosing that information to any other person. So there is a responsibility on a parent or a teacher or a carer when they receive this disclosure information. They cannot give it out willy-nilly. They cannot use it irresponsibly.
And it's not automatic, this, Paul Frew. So the authorities decide whether they're going to give out the information or not.
That's right. And it's
completely... And on what basis do they make that decision?
By the specialists and the experts who manage and monitor these people.
Well, how do they decide whether to tell someone living next door to you whether there is a sex offender living next door to you or not? How do they decide?
Very, very simple. It will be on the risk to that child at the centre of our application.
How can the simple information that someone's been convicted of a criminal offence tell you anything about the current risk that man poses to the child? The probation board will already have concluded that he's not a threat to the public, which is why he's in the public in the first place. So what further information is this disclosure scheme going to have access to, which means that they can make the decision between disclosing and not?
Well, that's incorrect information. We know that there's people out there who still pose a risk. We know there's people out there who have not been totally rehabilitated or reformed. And that is life. That is real life.
But you are completely undermining...
We need to make sure that our parents are armed with the information that is shared between agencies. This information is already shared between education boards, between the police, the probation board, the prison service. Why is it that parents are the last to know? Parents should be the first to know, especially when it comes to their child.
Well, the point is that now the question you have to ask yourself is what do you want parents to do with that information? What are legitimate measures for parents to take in respect to that information? what's going to happen when the first person who's been convicted of a minor sexual offence has this information disclosed about them, the people around them decide to take the law into their own hands, what are you going to explain about the positive effects of this law when that happens?
That's the wrong question. What we do know is that there's been over 550 convictions since 2010 to 2013 of sexual offences. What we do know is that 80 of those had a previous record and conviction. So do re-offend, even when they're in the community.
Can you tell me whether a single one of those were for child sex offences?
I'm sure there would have been.
Well, you can't, can you? Offenses. Because sex offences carries an enormous range of behaviour.
I don't have that.
It's a completely broad-brush, non-specific approach to lawmaking, and it's extremely dangerous.
Is it not better to have that information than not have it? Is it not better that a parent has that information about their neighbour who may pose a risk? Is it not better that they have that at their disposal? And remember, this isn't a broad brush. There have been, I think, over 7,000 applications in Sarah's Law in GB.
But you
just over 500. Just
you
over 500 disclosures have been made. So this is a robust system.
Okay, here's Graham in Portadown. Morning, Graham.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, maybe I'm slightly confused here. Maybe somebody could clarify at this point for me. If somebody applies for information on their neighbour, and their neighbour could be either low risk or high risk or an immediate danger, does their neighbour have the right, and I think actually they should have the right to have the information on the person who actually applied for that information, i.e. there should be disclosure to the proposed person who is either a paedophile or a criminal or a wife beater or whatever. He should know who is applying for this information. It should be a two-way street. Why should we hide it?
That's a very good point, and that will be a part of this assessment by Papani. If they feel the need to disclose information to the sex offender, they will do that. In some cases,
really?
That is happening now, Stephen. That is happening now with disclosure here in this country. And take the example whereby a sex offender.
Hold on a moment. Just one moment. So someone who goes to the authorities to ask if someone has a prior offence for sex offending, that may be passed to the person who has the inquiry made about them. Their name, their identification.
No, the fact, because it's all about risk, Steve. So they will be informed, they may well be informed that there has been a disclosure about them. Now, that may be disclosed to them, that may not. It will all depend on the risk. And this is the important bit here. It's all about the risk.
Yeah, but who assesses the risk and how accurate is the assessment of risk?
Papani. And they do that on a daily basis.
Well,
and whilst it's not fail-safe, can I just say that having worked with the NSPCC over the last number of weeks and months, and with the police and the DOJ officials, I am assured that we probably have the best and robust system in the UK.
Thomas in North Belfast. Morning, Thomas.
How you doing, Stephen? Stephen, it's just two points you'd like to make where it's messed up in this country and I think the rest of the UK and Ireland as well. When someone gets arrested and they haven't been convicted, their details are put out in the public as in such and such has been arrested, blah, 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 and their address put in. And this is for all sorts of things. And we're being told that after they've actually been convicted of paedophile abuse or sex abuse, we're not allowed to know where they are, even though all their details are put out before they're convicted.
Of Northern Ireland, Thomas, isn't there? The reality of Northern Ireland, this happens elsewhere too, but you know that if someone is identified as a sex offender, there's a pretty good chance they're going to be burnt out of their homes, bricked out of their homes, intimidated out of their homes, graffiti about them. So do they have a right to live anywhere after they've been released by the judicial system, after they've served their sentence?
Depends what their risk is, Stephen. The second point I was going to make is we can go to a council. I can go to a council now and say, we lot up a street there, he's breaking into houses, antisocial behaviour, spraying all around things. And the council and the police can actually move them out of that area for breaking into houses and stealing cars. But we're not allowed to get someone moved out of the area.
Not for past activity.
It doesn't matter. It's for child abuse. I mean, people should have a right that if there's a child abuser or paedophile living in your street, people have a right to know. Because paedophiles are, are they're well known for keep on offending.
Thomas, thank you. June in Banbridge. Morning, June.
I just want to say that anybody, be it man or woman, that puts their hand on any innocent wee child, I don't care who they are, they don't belong in the community. They do not belong with wee children. And the parents need to know if that person is in among them and among their wee children. I don't care who they are, what they are, man or woman. They should not be allowed anywhere near.
So where do they go?
I don't care where they go as long as they're not near children. I don't care where they go.
So where do they go?
Personally speaking, I wouldn't want them near me or my wee grandchild. I can tell you that. I would think of putting my, even now, I think of putting my wee girl out, my wee grandchild out into the garden. And I'm sitting watching her like a hawk for fear someday would come. Because I know they're living in and around me. And it just sickens me. It really sickens me that any time they could take a chance, because you see, once they do it, I don't care who they are, what they are, they'll keep doing it, and they'll keep doing it. So they will. That's what they want. They want wee innocent children. And I can assure you, if any of them ever touched anything belonging to me, it would be better that they put a milestone around their neck and put them in the deepest sea. Rather than let me get my hands on them. No, they don't belong to the community where there's wee children. What right has that wee child? Tell me, that paedophile is getting hidden. Oh no, don't be telling anybody this and don't be telling anybody. What about that wee innocent child that's out in the garden playing and gets lifted out of its garden because its mommy put it something in the washing machine and took her eyes off it for 2 minutes? What right has that wee child, tell me, when they knew they put that paedophile in among the innocent children?
June,
that's all I have to say. I don't get it.
Okay. June, thank you very much indeed. Morning to you.